I'm David Miller, executive producer of Market to Market. Your feedback helps us a lot. Send us your questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org. Now, here's the Market Analysis Podcast.
This is the Friday, September 18, 2020 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. China's buying spree on soybeans lifted the corn and wheat boats. For the week, December wheat jumped 33 cents while the nearby corn contract gained a dime. Contract highs were common in the soy complex this week as more long positions developed while the trade tried to figure out how much more steam is left in the boiler. The November soybean contract rallied another 48 cents. December soybean meal added $17.50 per ton. December cotton expanded 85 cents per hundredweight. In the dairy parlor, October Class 3 milk futures improved 34 cents. The livestock sector was mixed. October cattle added $1.82. October feeders increased 1.85, and the October lean hog contract declined 8 cents. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index fell 40 ticks. October crude oil added $3.69 per barrel. COMEX gold gained 8.10 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index expanded nearly 16 points to finish at 357.60. Joining us now to give us some insight is one of our regular market analysts, Tom Fitzenmaier. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul. How are you today?
I'm all right. You know, I was thinking coming into yesterday, we were going to easily talk about soybeans as the lead story. But here goes wheat today finishing up and made a 6% gain. Is there more than a sympathy gain going on in wheat? Is there something else other than what soybeans are doing to help wheat?
Absolutely. I think if you look at the dry weather conditions in Ukraine, in Russia, starting to dry out a little bit in Argentina, there's a lot of problems with wheat around the world, and I think that's really what caught fire in the wheat market on Friday. I think obviously there's some coattails from soybeans too, but I think wheat's around the world's got some problems that attracted attention too. Now, U.S. wheat supplies are pretty good, so I don't think you want to get too carried away here and probably need to use this as a selling opportunity, but there are some fundamental problems that are supportive in the wheat.
Are you selling with caution? I mean, a small percent right now? I mean, you got to take advantage of this, I would imagine. I mean, if you look at the four-month trend line, it's up there pretty good, but are you saying hold just a tiny little bit?
You can't see these kind of rallies and not do something to take advantage of them. Now, I'm not saying you go 100% or anything, but taking a bite out of this certainly would be prudent in my estimate. And I know what's coming is a lot of people sold beans too early and they're in the hole and concerned about it. And that's been a big problem in beans, maybe not quite so much in wheat and corn.
All right. Yeah, you know where we're going to get, but let's talk corn first here, Tom. You've got this carryout, you've got this large crop, and we're headed into harvest. I mean, it's beginning in earnest in many areas. Where's the harvest pressure on this market? Why are we headed up?
Historically, it's a big chunk of it's been fund buying. And the other big chunk of it's been Chinese buying, or at least the threat of more Chinese buying. So I think that's really what's driving it. And then you get a little of the windstorm in Iowa 3 weeks ago in the mix here. And that's generating some buying. Now, the funds are long, I don't know, roughly 70,000 contracts. And it's really rare for them to be long corn when we have a carryout projected above 2 billion. And even the most optimistic Chinese buyer bulls, I guess you'd call them, aren't looking for them to buy enough to pull the carry out much under 2.4. So I don't know. I'm really uneasy about the funds being long corn, even though the corn position isn't near as big as their soybean position. I just think you're getting up into the levels here where almost all the indicators are showing overbought. Like you said, we're heading into harvest. Harvest reports have been pretty light so far. Some have been way better than expected, and some have been disappointing, which is about what you get every year at this time.
Well, and yeah, there's always that school of thought. Is it the early report that's the lowest, or is it the highest? You just don't know. So with corn, let me ask one last question here. You buying or are you selling right now on this market? Let's talk December.
At the top end of this rally, I don't have any interest in being a buyer now. Maybe it's going to go a little higher. Hopefully it will from the farmer's standpoint. But, you know, you're up here in this 378 to 380, 81 area. I think that's a big area of resistance. Maybe you push through that a little bit more. To go a lot higher, you're going to have some substantial Chinese buying. And that it seems unlikely, but, yeah, I mean, you never know. I guess I'd use the same statement I said in wheat. You don't go a whole hog selling stuff up here. But you have to take a little bite of this. And short term, the basis has been quite good. So there's maybe some incentive there to move some cash if you need to, because I would expect to see a basis deterioration that's pretty substantial going into the end of September, early October.
All right, we've delayed it enough. Let's talk soybeans. The easy question comes from Tim in Crookston, Minnesota. He's asking what several of you did on Twitter and Facebook. How much more gas does this soybean rally have?
Yeah, that's all I've heard all week. So I'm not surprised. I don't know. I mean, every time that you think it's about done, it goes up another 15 cents. So the tricky part on beans here is, what do you plug in for Chinese buying? If they buy an extra 200 million bushels of soybeans and it pulls a carryout down to 200 or 250, then you're probably going to $12. Chinese buying is really the key to what goes on here. And if you know the answer to that, we'll make you the host forever.
Well, let's just say that's why I ask you these questions, Tom. You've done it a couple of years. But I had somebody send me a message today, though, and they were saying, be careful. There are some out there saying this is a long-term situation. Do you see a long tail on this? And when I say long, I mean 2 to 3 years. Do you see this lasting 1 to 2 days, 1 to 2 weeks on this run-up?
What's the strategy? My question is, what's the strategy? Are they buying beans to put in inventory as a hedge against a La Nina problem in South America this winter, which is certainly shaping up to be a possibility? Are they accumulating inventory so that we could get another dust up with our president and he threatens more tariffs? They've got some inventory to sort of ride that out. What's their long-term strategy? That's the question. Certainly this rally in soybeans is going to incentivize the daylights out of South America to plant more soybeans. And so even if they have a little bit of an anemia, La Nina hiccup in their yield, some of that's going to be compensated for by an acreage increase. So there's a lot of moving parts here. And the big unknown is what's China going to do. Now, the U.S. crop is probably going to be the second largest we've harvested. Now, it's not as good as we thought it was 6 weeks ago, but it's still going to be pretty darn good in all likelihood. There's dry areas where it's not going to be very good, but there's a big chunk of the country that's going to have pretty darn good bean yields.
I was reading you something.
I know that wasn't a very good answer, I know, but there's a lot of unknowns here.
There are, and there's a question here, and we'll probably dive more in Market Plus, but I just want to read a little bit of it. You know, farmers were punished last year for being sale hesitant during the seasonal rally, which when the crop didn't look any very good. Then this year, every analyst, we know it's not every analyst, was bearish. Crop looked amazing, and now you're punished for being diligent and heavily sold. You can't win.
I've got a customer that likes to always say it's hard to be right. And I guess that would be a perfect example of it. It is hard to be right. And you know, those people that were bearish were right 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When the crop looked excellent and when the Chinese hadn't started buying yet. So circumstances change and you have to adjust with them. That's kind of part of the deal, unfortunately. And I know a lot of farmers don't like to have to make those adjustments. And I don't either, but that's kind of what you have to do.
We'll talk strategies in Market Plus, so I'll ask you before we leave soybeans, are you selling right now or are you holding?
Well, I guess I'm cautiously optimistic, but then again, you put $2 on soybeans. How much more do you have to put on? The basis is somewhat decent in a lot of places. I think you have to take advantage of this a little bit, especially if you've got going to have storage issues. So I'm not going whole hog selling things, but you just have to take a piece of it. And if you're scared to death of the futures, go buy yourself a put. And the price of those is elevated a little bit, but, you know, at least you know what your risk is.
All right, here's another one that's a head-scratcher this week, the live cattle market. There's a lot of fundamentals that are screaming, how on earth can this thing rally? But yet it goes and puts another rally. There's a discussion among futures and cash people right now about one being better than the other, but we still are trending higher. Are we going to keep trending higher?
This is the cattle market's getting pretty top. I think longer term it could, but I'm not sure there's a whole lot left in this in the short run here. I think it's starting to act a little toppy. Not that I think there's going to be a huge pullback, but I think you could start to turn sideways. Now, I guess I disagree with you a little bit in that I think domestic demand's been pretty darn good for beef. It's continued right into the fall here, which is great. Export demand has been okay. I just think the cattle market's probably all right longer term. Don't get too shook up if it has a pullback, because I think all that is just a normal correction of a market that's tending to move higher.
Well, and the only reason
I know you're probably going to ask, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, there's a debate about what that consumer is buying right now. And you read different parts, you know, retail sales were down. That's not food, but there's always that concern about what does that consumer have to spend? And beef's one of those that usually trends down, but that's conventional wisdom. And 2020 has told us conventional wisdom's out the window. I need to move to feeders here for a minute. Is there any incentive for a lot to fill up pens right now with feeder cattle?
Boy, that's the one that's really been confounding in my mind is historically when grain prices rally like corn and meal have, it really hurts the feeder market. And yet the feeder market's hung in there quite well. I mean, we're not that far off the highs. We're up again today with everything, all the grains being higher. So I think you have to be somewhat impressed with apparently somebody thinking they can buy feeders at these prices and make some money on them. That strength in the fat market is probably helping incentivize that to some extent. So given the way it's acted, if corn and soybean meal should happen to top out, I think you could be setting yourself up for a pretty nice little pop here in the feeder market back up into that 148 area, which I think was what we were talking about the last time I was on the show with you. So I guess I don't see any reason to get real carried away on the negative side, given how that market's reacted here in the last week or month, really.
Right. Feeder or the hog market, we had a pretty good run up and then declined 8 cents on the week. Is this a breather? Or are we headed back up higher?
Well, you got two different things going on. The October contract, which is a spot month, the cash market has been quite strong. The fundamentals aren't quite as positive for the December contract. We have more hogs going to hit the market later in that fourth quarter. So I guess I'd be a little cautious about how much more is left on that December contract. You get that up another couple bucks, and I think you'd probably want to start to be a seller there. October contract, it doesn't have that much time left, and that's pretty much a cash market, so I don't really know about that much.
All right, Tom, we'll talk a little more livestock, get into that a little bit. Tom Fitzmaier, thank you so much. That will do it for this installment of the TV show we call Market to Market, and we will talk more in Market Plus. You can join us there. We'll answer your questions. You can find it on our website at markettomarket.org. As harvest gets going, you may be away from your TV when our program airs in your area. So just hit up our YouTube channel to get full videos of our stories, program, and that segment we call Market Plus. Subscribe now at youtube.com/markettomarket. Next week, we'll look at the impact of weather on the crop as harvest begins in earnest. Until then, thanks for watching and have a great week.